Psalm 19, verse 14, will be our memory verse for this portion, however long it takes us to get through the study. I just kind of hit you with that last week, but so everybody's got their Bibles open. It's fine. You can look at it. But let's read that verse, and then we're going to, over this course of the study, it won't take long. Well, the study might take long, but the verse won't take long for us to memorize. But let's read it together. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. For those who weren't here last week, that kind of verse kind of jumped off the page at me when I read for the first time here in this study, Psalm 19, and I said that it would be a good memory verse, and I don't think there's anything, I know there's nothing wrong with memorizing the Word of God, and maybe it'll be a challenge for me as we move forward to pick out a verse or allow the Lord to give me the verse that we can memorize to get something out of this. Again, Psalm 19 is only 14 verses, so, you know, some are bigger, some are smaller, but, you know, something that we can nail down in our minds, and I know many of you probably already know it. Many of you probably already committed to memory. I know Nathan and Jeremiah just had Psalm 19 as a memory verse for school stuff, so I know they should know it. It stuck out to me last week, and again, the emphasis on it, you know, is that we let the words of our mouth, everything that comes out of our mouth and the meditation of our heart, what are we thinking about? What's going on inside? Let them be acceptable in thy sight, the Lord's sight. Not my sight, not Pastor Wilson, not Pastor Coburn's, not anybody like that. The Lord's sight. And then how can we do that? We do that by relying on the Lord, where it says, the Lord, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. It doesn't take much to memorize the verse, but it takes a lot to apply it. You say, well, that's simple, Brother Ronnie. Think about it every day this week. Think about that verse every day this week. Read that verse every day this week. Commit it to your memory. We'll buzz through it here as we go through the study. We'll keep bringing it up. But I just find that to be a really key verse in this psalm. And we're going to look at a lot more things. We looked at a few things last week. Spent a lot of time on introductory stuff, but that just really stuck out to me. And I read that verse several times this week. And as I, you know, prepare to leave out in the morning to go to work, and it's a challenge. It's a challenge, Tracy. It's a challenge to be at work all day in the world, and let the words of your mouth and the meditation of your heart be acceptable in God's sight. I'm not pointing you out. You're easy. You're right there. You pay attention. That's why I grab you many times. I know you're paying attention. But think about it, folks. It's a challenge. Let that be our challenge. Let it be a challenge to each and every one of us. All day, every day, let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in God's sight. Everything we do. I think it's just something that will just, it has to draw us closer to the Lord. And I'd be the first to testify to you, not everything that comes out of my mouth and not everything that's meditated upon in my heart is of the Lord or is acceptable to the Lord. And there is forgiveness with the Lord. Yes, there is. And he will forgive us where we failed him. But I put that out there as a challenge for this class, everyone that's here, that we commit the verse to memory, but not just to memory. Because see, if we get it in our memory, then it'll come up more often. I'll be honest with you, it's came up to me a couple times this week with things. I'm like, whoa, what? Think about what you're saying. Think about what you just said, or think about what you're about to say. And that's just the Spirit of God working in us. The Holy Spirit can work in us much better if we have the word in our heart. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Folks, if we don't have anything in our mind from the word of God and commit not just to our memory, but in our heart, then I'm not saying that the Spirit of God can't work on you, but he's got a lot better, I'll make up one of those words like Pastor does, workability in our lives. He can do something with us. When poof, just click that memory button on you, and it quickly kind of sets you in your place. And I found this too, that and this was even just this week. It was what I thought about that I was going to say, and he said, think about that before you open your mouth. Put my head down. I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you for helping me. Mm-hmm. Everything. Now, I mentioned many times being in the workplace, being in the world. You can be in your house. You can be in your home. I fear that sometimes some of the people we hurt most are the people we love, the people that are closest to us. And I don't know why we do that as a people. I think we're too comfortable sometimes. We think, you know, they'll always be here. They're always forgiving. It doesn't matter. They know. They'll brush it off. But sometimes the ones we hurt with our words are the ones that are closest to us. And it shouldn't be like that. Would you want what you're saying to be said in here this morning? And not so much, you know, the people here, but who is watching over us? Who is the one living in us that hears and sees everything? It's convicting. No, it's convicting for me. I'm not trying to point out anybody's sin. It's convicting for me that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. What's quiet? You can say amen, preacher. He did say amen. It was very weak, but no, I'm honestly not trying to get on anybody's case. It's just the word of God. It's real, folks. It's real to us. It should be real to us. It should mean something to us. Before I go any further, let me just throw this out. I mentioned it in the room, but a prayer request for this week. Mason has two appointments at Hopkins, which is right down in the heart, the belly of the whale. Tomorrow morning at like 10:45, and then Thursday afternoon at 2 something. The one tomorrow has to do with, he has a medication pump that's implanted in him. Has been in there now going on 7 years. 7 years is the life of it, the battery life. That medication pumps into his spinal cord that helps him stay limber. Because of the accident, there's things that make him contract, and this medication, this thing has really helped him over the years, but it has met its lifespan. So we gotta meet with the doctor, the surgeon, and get like a consultation so somewhere in the coming months, we got to get that taken care of. Should just be pretty much outpatient, but when we do the surgery, but we'll see what it is. And then Thursday, there's some more stuff to do with bone structure and his hips and his neck and stuff like that. So a lot of stuff going on for us this week, and we don't particularly like going down there, but that's where the help is, and we just covet your prayers tomorrow and Thursday. Thankfully, it sounds like the weather's going to warm up a little bit. We're not traveling down there in frigid temperatures, so we just ask for your prayers there. Back to Psalm 19. I'm not going to read the whole thing because we've took up a bunch of time already this morning, but I will read the first six verses, which is where we're at. Verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. There is nothing hid from the heat thereof. And for sake of time, we'll not read any further, but we said some things last week, a lot of stuff by introduction, and then we kind of started to get into point number one, and that is the works of God, God's works in verses 1 through 6. And we said a lot of stuff about that. We just got basically into three things that we see here in the works of God. And verse 1 through 3, we said there was a communication by God's works. And we mentioned that there's, you know, God uses his word, but he uses nature as well. That's a book as well that God uses to get the message to mankind of how good, gracious, and merciful he is. The problem is most men do not pay any attention to this. They do not even acknowledge the message that God has given here in verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God. They're declaring God's glory, and we could go over that again. We're not going to, but how good God is to us. Just stand out here and look. You're not going to stand out there too long today because it's cold, but any given day you can stand out here and just look at the heavens and the glory of God, everything, and then the nighttime as well, how glorious he is in his creation. We said there's revelation and communication where the heavens declare the glory of God, and we said that God has there's very much skill that he has exhibited there, where it says the firmament showeth his handiwork. There's nothing on this earth that has been built by man, and there's been a lot of nice stuff made, a lot of things that look very nice, very, you know, especially if I like architecture from years ago. I'm not so much into this concrete mess that they're building today, but I can see things. You know, I spoke of going to Baltimore in our past down there, years that we were down there, different times, different places we've been. It's not easy to do, but if you're stuck in traffic sometimes, even in as rough as that city is, you can even get in places, and I like to look up at the architecture on the buildings, the older buildings, the moldings and stuff. Even Hopkins has that dome down there building and all that. There's a lot of architecture there, a lot of things that man created, a lot of things that are nice, that really look pretty neat, but they're nothing compared to what God has done. The firmament showeth his handiwork. He is a handy God. He has created things that you and I can't even dream about. And that's all in his creation. There's much skill exhibited there. Turn over to Genesis chapter 1. See a little bit about the firmament that we didn't touch on last week. Chapter 1, and we can go back to verse 14. It said, "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for the signs and for the seasons and for days and for years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And he made stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from darkness. And God saw it, and it was good." We could go on reading there, but we know by that God created that firmament and made it, and he made all this stuff to bring glory to him. He did all that before he ever touched on man. I think man is verse 23 or something like that. It's on down. But back to Psalm 19, God didn't need any help making the firmament. He didn't need any help making the heavens. But yet those heavens, they still to this day declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. We're going to get a little more into that as we go down through this. But, you know, I have a point that I'm getting to, or I'll get to here in a little bit. That is the faithfulness of God. Think about that. I'll jump ahead just a little bit. But how faithful God has been for thousands of years. Have you ever worried that the sun wasn't going to come up the next morning? I'm sure there's some people that have. Think this is the last day that we're going to be here. But, you know, I've never put that on my worry list. God is faithful, and he's done this for thousands of years now. The whole cycle thing here, and it all brings glory to him. There's great skill demonstrated by men on this earth, but no one has been able to do what the great creator has done. There was revelation and communication. There's regularity in communication in verse 2, where it says, "Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge." God's communication is continuous communication. You know, we live in that. We live in the communication world, do we not? We've all got to have it. We've all got to have one. It's got to be in our pocket. We can't go anywhere without it. We can't, you know, we can leave for work and leave our wallet, but heaven forbid we leave our phone. We can't do without it. We've got to have communication. I love to, like, think back in my mind the years ago when I was, well, long before I was married, but even after I was married, there was times where Angie was at home with a couple young children, and just maybe 3, 4, whatever, and I was working a job and was away, and many times there was no cell phone, and she had my work number, and that was reserved for an emergency. I didn't get a call from her at lunchtime and said, "Hey, honey, how you doing?" No, it was an emergency. If you know, and she knew that if she needed something, absolutely needed something, something was wrong, she could call work. They could get a hold of me, and there may be times that they couldn't get a hold of me right away because I may be out doing something, and there was no communication. But today, everything that happens, every moment of the day, there's constant communication everywhere we go, unless we don't have a signal. No. You want to move up to the great Garfield district up on the mountain. Andrew and his family can tell you about it. We can tell you about it. Steve, you probably face the same thing over there at Wolfsville. It's all in that no-fly zone, I think it is, we have there. If we don't have, at my house, if we don't have Wi-Fi, you can't get a hold of us. We'll have to, we've figured out that if we travel up the Stoudemire Road, up to the, I think it's Garfield United Methodist Church, there's a spot. You pull in their parking lot, and you can get a hold of people most of the time with what signal you have on your phone. But it's a real problem when there's no communication. What am I saying? I'm just not babbling on about all that. That's us. But God, His communication is continuous. Has there ever been a day since He created this world that day unto day the creation has not uttered speech and night unto night show of knowledge? There's never been one communication break in the whole time since creation. God is faithful. He's created that. The evidence is overwhelming. God is a true 24/7, 365, or 366, if you want to call the leap year. He's there all the time. His creation and all these things that we spoke of here so far in Psalm 19, they roll around all the time. They're continuous. That's God's love towards us. He's merciful, folks. He's showing people, and we'll get into this further more. There's the Bible says they have no excuse. He said, some people would say, and I remember years ago, Pastor, I remember you saying some things that some mission boards were saying about, well, if we don't take the gospel to this region or whatever, then the Lord's not going to come back because we haven't got the gospel to them yet. That's not the case. The Bible says they're without excuse. Amen. Without excuse. Why? Because the heavens are declaring the glory of God, and the firmament showing His handiwork, and day unto day they utter speech, and night unto night they showeth knowledge. They have no excuse. The evidence is overwhelming and ever-present if men would only believe the truth about creation and what God has done and what He's doing all around us. I thought about this as I thought about the regularity in the communication that God has with us and with this world. The question came up just in my thoughts on this was, God is so good at communicating. He's so faithful. But a little thought, maybe a little question for us, especially us that know Him as our Lord and Savior, how regular are we?
That's right.
How regular are we at communicating with God? Do we do it just when we have time? Do we do it if we get up in time so that we have time before work, before school, before whatever? Do we do it sometime during the day, sometimes during the day, no times? Are we regular? God's regular. His communication is very regular, folks. He's there. He is there all the time for us to communicate. The only thing that can get in between us and Him is sin. And if we know Him as our Savior, the Holy Spirit lives within us, just like I spoke of at the beginning here, the verses, the words we hide in our heart that we might not sin against God. If we've got the Holy Spirit in us, we've got God's Word in us. And he'll use it. And sometimes it hurts. But you know what? He loves us and he cares about us and he wants to communicate with us. He wants to do this as well. So we need to be looking up to him as an example for being regular in our prayer life, our devotion life to him, in our service to him. There's not only revelation and communication and regularity, but we see here in verse 3, there's regions in communications. It says, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Communication spoken by God here in his creation covers all languages and lands. No one is without excuse. I've said that, and let's turn over to the book of Romans. We'll be back to Psalms. Romans chapter 1, I'll show you what I'm talking about there. Romans chapter 1, we'll start with verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it unto them. Verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. What are we talking about in Psalm 19? We've been talking about in these first few verses, the creation that he has made. He says that they're clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. There's a lot of foolish hearts in this world that have been darkened because they've shut God off. They've denied the creation. They've denied everything that's all around them that clearly points them to a loving God that wants to forgive them and wants them to be saved. There's also, we see in communication in his works. Number two, we see compassion in his works. That's found comparison in his verse. My glasses are dirty. Comparison in his works, verses 4 and 5. It says, their line is going out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. In these verses, we see that David focuses on the sun in creation, what he's talking about here, and he compares the sun to two figures as well. He calls them, here in verse 5, the bridegroom and a strong man. He makes the comparison here of them. He's still talking about creation here. He talks about the bridegroom in verse 5, says, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. I did some reading on this, and it's kind of what I come up with here. When a bridegroom comes out of his chamber, he is dressed in glorious apparel. You know, I put some thought into that, and I can remember, and on July the 6th of 1996, when I was the bridegroom, waiting for my bride, and I was in my chamber up here in Shippensburg Independent Baptist Church. I was tucked away in a corner back here. And at the very last, we were tucked away back there, but we were in a Sunday school room earlier, as me and the groomsmen, we all were together and talking. My dad was there for a little while. Angie's dad come in, was praying with us and stuff. And I thought about that as we got ready for the wedding. And you know, you don't see it much anymore today. I'm not saying that weddings aren't nice. Tradition has kind of changed a little bit, and you know, it's a little easier on the wallet. But I got married back in the day where you had to rent a tuxedo, and it was just what you did. Tracy, did you rent a tux when you got married? Yep. So that was just the thing, okay? Now, my mom and dad, I remember their wedding picture. I remember seeing that picture of them, and I probably have a copy of it at home somewhere. But that was 1948. There was a farmer's son and a farmer's daughter, and it wasn't an abundance of money rolling out for extra stuff. My dad had a nice suit on, which I'm sure cost him something. Black and white photos, of course. But my mom just had a dress on. It wasn't a long flowing, glorious white dress or nothing like that, like you see nowadays. But I asked her about it one time. She said, "I put my best dress on." So as time changes, things change there, and it seems like it's going more back to, okay, just wear the best thing you got, come up here and get married kind of thing. And you do what people do, what they do. But I remember back in 1996, and I remember getting ready. And, you know, the focus was on Angie, it wasn't on me, but I was to look nice too. She didn't want to come out with her wedding gown, and I'm be standing up there in bib overhauls like this. You know, that wouldn't have been the thing to do. But what I was getting ready for my bride, and God uses the example here of this, and he's comparing it to the sun, okay, coming up each day. We're still talking about creation. And I came out there, I remember. You know, I've got four sisters, and some of them can be pretty ornery. Not that I didn't be ornery back to them growing up, but I remember two of my sisters coming in to see me, and they were like, "Whoa, look at you." I'm like, "Well, thank you. It's the first time in 25 years I've heard that, but what I was getting ready, and getting ready to come out of that, and God compares it here as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and David's comparing it here as the sun coming up. The comparison here is that the sun comes out of his chamber, which his chamber is the night, and it shines forth gloriously upon the earth every day. Again, we're going back to God's faithfulness here. Every morning, you know, we've got cloudy days. There's cloudy days and dreary days. But you know what? It's not cloudy and dreary everywhere. It's always shining somewhere. And you know, there may be a lot of things that come up in our lives. And, you know, maybe it's not cloudy out here, but maybe in our lives it's cloudy. I'm reminded of a song that was mentioned to me years ago as we're going through troubled times, and that is, "The sun will shine again." If you don't know it, look it up. The sun will shine again, and it will. God will bring the sun again in our lives. But David's using this as an example here as a bridegroom. It's just like the sun coming up every morning. And God's faithfulness here upon this earth. He not only compares it to the bridegroom, but he compares it to a strong man or a runner here, a strong man that runneth a race. That runner, a strong runner in a race comes out, and he doesn't, he might not come out. You know he's a runner. He might not come out. You know, there's a difference between someone sprinting short distances and a runner that runs a cross-country race, so to speak. They're not running as hard as they can when they come out the gate. They pace themselves. God compares this him to a steady and successful runner. So the sun rises in strength and shines steadily upon the earth all day. All day from, let's say, we'll call it 7 in the morning now until 5 something at night. The days are getting a little bit longer now, and they'll get longer as we get closer to the summer. But what is that? That's God's faithfulness every day for hours upon hours. You know, we need breaks. We can't do work steady too long. We need a break and everything else. But God is faithful all day long. It says here, which is as a bridegroom that cometh out of his chamber, rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. God is faithful day after day, night after night. He has been doing this for thousands of years, and he's still faithful, folks, every day. His creation is still faithful. And quickly, because I'm out of time, there's the sun's warmth. We see that here. There's nothing hid from the heat thereof. We see that here in the end of verse 6. Though the sun, the physical sun, is millions of miles away from us. Actually, did a little search there. 91.5 million miles away from us. So I don't know who measured that, but that's what they say when you look it up. Away from the earth, the sun still warms the earth every day. I know that doesn't feel like that for the last couple weeks here, but folks, imagine it if the sun didn't come up. Imagine how cold we would have been. I think we've already got a potbelly stove in here or something, but we would have been frozen had it not been for the sun coming up every day. God is faithful. This is a picture of God's love towards a sinful world. Though his dwelling place is even past the sun, he still shines his sun, S-O-N, upon men's hearts every day. You can look that up in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 12. I was going to read that, but we'll not read it for sake of time. The question that I'll leave you with is, has he shined in your heart today? Do you know him as Lord and Savior? If not, he's there, folks. He's there every day. You can see him in creation, and it's not just good enough to see him in creation. You have to know him. You have to know him in your heart. Let's pray.